2002 to investigate Saudi Arabia and the options available to the US. They in turn branded Saudi Arabia the kernel of evil, adding that
Saudis are active at every level of the terror chain.
More so, it advocated that the US invade the country, targeting in particular Mecca and Medina, seizing its oil fields and confiscating its financial assets, something originally proposed by US officials back in the 70s. The reason why the US administration has not already severed links with Saudi is because this would not be conducive to a strategic interest. Saudi Arabia is not only the number one supplier to the United States, but the oil is sold to the US at a discount of $1 per barrel, translating into a subsidy to US consumers of $620 million per year. Saudi also represents 25% of the world's known oil supplies, and so the US would struggle to meet her domestic energy demands without their compliance. Furthermore, Bush has been criticised by oil companies for the lack of progress made in securing Iraq's oil. The popular Iraqi resistance and sabotage to pipelines has reduced the flow of oil to a trickle, exporting only a third of its capability. On the US domestic front, consumers faced with soaring gas prices at the pump blame Bush for much of America's energy woes. The Bush administration, faced with the growing tide of disapproval, asked the Saudis to come up with a plan that dramatically increases its oil production capacity. In April 2005, Crown Prince Abdullah Saudi proposed to spend $50 billion over a 5-year period to increase production capacity to 12.5 million barrels per day by 2009, from the current 11 million limit. The aim, to flood the international oil market, to reduce the oil price in order to aid the American economy, even though it would also diminish Saudi profits and significantly damage the country's economy. A sacrifice the Saudis have made for their American masters on previous occasions. Notwithstanding this, the Saudis also plan to give US energy companies a huge bonanza by inviting them to invest in Saudi Arabia's other energy sectors. Crown Prince Abdullah furthermore plans to make it easier for American businessmen to take wealth out of the country by proposing to relax the laws. Clearly, the Americans remain the primary beneficiaries of Abdullah's plan, whilst the Muslim Ummah continues to suffer. Washington's commitment to Saudi Arabia has proceeded in tandem with a close security relationship with Israel. America's connection to Israel, which grew from a generalized support in the 1940s to an arms supply relationship in the mid-1960s, should have been a source of complication for the Saudis, the self-proclaimed guardians of the Holy Land. However, apart from some rhetoric, it had little effect on ties with Washington. After all, if they could tolerate US control of the Hejaz, they could tolerate Zionist control over Palestine. Because of Arab and Muslim sentiment, Saudi leaders on the face of it had to appear to be opposed to a sovereign Jewish presence in the midst of the Arab world, but the Saudis were set to play a useful part in America's plans for the region. The first meeting of Saudi and American heads of state took place in 1945 aboard an American warship on the Suez Canal. Publicly, President Franklin D. Roosevelt pledged that he personally, as a president, would never do anything which might prove hostile to the Arabs, and that the US government would make no change in its basic policy in Palestine without full and prior consultation with both Jews and Arabs. However, privately Roosevelt wanted Ibn Saud to use his position with other Arab leaders to win support for a plan to transfer a portion of Palestine west of the Jordan River to the Jews as a new homeland for $50 million. In 1943, Roosevelt sent a secret emissary to Riyadh to ask the king to meet Jewish leaders to discuss the plan. After the death of Roosevelt in early 1945, his successor, President Truman, only 2 months after meeting with Ibn Saud, publicly backed the creation of Israel at the UN. In 1950, Ibn Saud asked Truman for a formal military treaty. In response, Truman sent his assistant Secretary of State to Saudi Arabia to establish a military aid program that continues to this day. The king was told that the United States would take most immediate action at any time that the integrity and independence of Saudi Arabia is threatened. The king, evidently pleased, closed the meeting by saying he wished it to be understood that he considered the United States and Saudi Arabia as one state. By 1967, American and Israeli ties were closer than before, and a regional perception prevailed of the kingdom as being dependent on the United States. Arab sentiment against America spilled over into criticism of the ruling family. During the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, anti-US and Israeli demonstrations broke out in Saudi Arabia, publicly pressuring King Faisal bin Abdulaziz to temporarily shut down Aramco's operations and shipments to the US and Britain. However, only 2 months later, the Saudi regime quickly moved to end the embargo, and Faisal personally insisted that the US stayed. After the 1967 war, Saudi ties to America continued to subject them to growing pressure from Muslims worldwide. Faisal, hoping to resolve or at least lessen these tensions, ensured that he was continually seen to urge the Americans to press Israel, even though it was only to withdraw to the pre-war lines. However, the Saudi-America relationship only worked one way, and America developed an even more pro-Israeli policy, supplying them with arms during the 1973 Arab-Israeli War. In the 1973 Arab-Israeli War, the Saudis again, under overwhelmingly public pressure, withdrew oil from the market. The contradictions of the Saudi-American relationship reached its peak in the mid-1970s, when high officials in Washington openly threatened for the first, but not last time, the possibility of seizing the Gulf oil fields. Even though it was only a 2-month suspension of all oil supplies to the United States, it was enough to cause a swift and disruptive effect on America's domestic life and economy. As a result, the Saudis, not wishing to harm their master, never again brandished the oil weapon in subsequent crises. In return for the Saudis' deliberate ineffectual opposition to Israel, America's continuously promised the family protection as rulers of Saudi Arabia.